Tell you, that was wonderful. Well, I'm not the pastor.
You are today.
One of the ladies came up to me and she said to keep it short and sweet today. I'm not going to tell you what I said to her. It may be short and sweet. I have a subject that God laid on my heart about 2 weeks ago when the pastor asked me if I would preach today. And God laid it on my heart, but it was difficult in preparing the message. I can't say that I fully have it all together this morning, but I do have some thoughts that God has laid upon my heart for this day and age that we live in. And the song was very applicable this morning for the message that I'll be preaching. And pardon my voice. Someone asked me the other day, how's it going to be retired? I said, well, it's going. This will be my 23rd message this year. Is that retirement? I got a text from a pastor yesterday and wants me to be there Wednesday night. So I'm not complaining, but I don't have the strong voice as many pastors do. But I do have a burden this morning that I want to share with you. It's a subject that is very seldom preached on because most of us pastors are afraid to preach on it. And it being on the holiness of God. Amen. On the holiness of God. I come with fear and trepidation this morning when I try to deliver a message like this, knowing who God is and He being a holy God. You remember when you got saved, when Christ touched your life and showed you your sinfulness and showed you the loveliness of Christ, and you came to a place of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit come to live within you. You began to change in some ways. You saw some things different in your life after you were saved. Very difficult sometimes to fully understand, especially for a new believer. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I've not seen either one of those. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And for one to come as a new believer in faith in Jesus Christ, for that new believer to understand who God is, I've never seen this God. I've never really felt this God. I've never had a meal with this God. This God that I trusted for my salvation through Jesus Christ lives within me. God, as big as God is, lives within me, lives within you. Can you explain that? You couldn't do it in thousands of sermons. The holiness of God. But then you began to see that God did make a change in your life. He, God, that created all things, comes to live within me. I used to be a little bit bigger, not taller, just a little heavier. But in this little 5'7", 8", 140-pound, skinnier than ever, the majesty of God Almighty lives within me. And He lives within you. You understand that? If you do, you come and preach it. I don't claim to know everything. I said to one of the brothers this morning, I said, God didn't call me this morning on the red phone and ask my opinion. God didn't need my opinion. But do you fully understand the holiness of God, that which lives within you? I don't. But I'd like to maybe open it up just a little bit this morning and help you see the holiness of God. Kind of like the young lad that was in his Sunday school class, and the teacher had asked the students to draw what God looks to you, looks like to you, or Jesus rather, how Jesus would look to you. And amen, he's with his coloring, his colors, and he's scribbling along there. And he just kept scribbling, And the teacher said, "Johnny, are you ever going to finish?" She looked down, she said, "That really doesn't look like Jesus." He said, "You'll give me time, it will when I finish." And hopefully that's the way it will be this morning, that you will see the holiness of God, not from Chuck Lewis, but from what God says. Let me bring to your attention this morning in Exodus chapter 15. Take your Bibles, Exodus chapter 15. And I want to read one verse, and then we'll start the message of the morning. I've prayed, I hope you have. God bless this message. 15:11. Then I'll give you the background of what it is. Exodus chapter 15, verse number 11 says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who could answer that question? He is exemplifying who God is, so majestic. No one could ever fully understand this God, fully see this God. Now get the background. Here Israel is rejoicing after their deliverance through the Red Sea. God brought them miraculously out of Egypt through the Red Sea. Someone said, the goggle-eye perch came about at that time. When God divided the Red Sea and the Israelites were moving through that dry ground, the goggle-eye perch was on each side with eyes about this big. He said, my, my, what a miracle. So they were coming out of that and they were rejoicing because of what God has done. Then in chapter 33 and verse number 9, we'll look at that in just a moment. But the Bible said that the Lord talked with Moses. God talked with Moses. And then verses 18 through 23 in just a moment, we'll read these. Moses asked, "Let me see your glory." Now go to 33 and verse number 9. Now they have come out of the wilderness through the Red Sea. Moses has gone up, received the Ten Commandments, came down, broke them, and he's going to go back at a later time. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle. This was a tabernacle that was set up after he had come down from the mountain and they had gone into sin and he'd rebuked them for that. And he set up a tabernacle to where they could come and commune with God there. And so here is Moses. He's entered into the tabernacle where the people could come in commune with God and with Moses. The cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Now, how would you like that? Said he talked with Moses. Look at verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now look at that again. Verse 9 says he talked with Moses. And then verse 11 said he spake unto Moses face to face. Now you would say, well, now Brother Chuck, does that mean exactly that Moses saw Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, or God's Spirit? Did Moses see him face to face? May I ask you the same question? Do you think he did? Let me ask the second question. How would you be if you saw God Almighty face to face in His glory? Sorry, you'll never see God's glory face to face. You'll never see it. It was this face-to-face was as one man to another man saying something very clearly face-to-face. Because 1 John tells us that no man has seen God at any time. Now, I'm sure that he saw something that day when Moses was wanting to let me see your glory, God. And God said, you can't see my glory. Later on, he tells him, you can't see my glory. I'll hide you in the cleft of the little rock there. I'll let you hide there where that you'll only see my hinder part. The backside, the translators say. You'll see the backside of me. In other words, you don't see me face to face. You couldn't handle it. You couldn't handle seeing the glory of God. Can you imagine if God Almighty showed up right now in His excellency, in His holiness, His graciousness? No way could I look upon Him in this flesh. He said, I'll let you see the hinder part. Some translate that as the afterglow. Moses did get to see that because you remember later on as he came back to among the people, these people saw him and it was as his face shined. Now, wouldn't that be a marvelous thing? The holiness of God. The question arises, has anyone seen God? No. Let me ask you a question this morning about this matter of the holiness of God. How holy is it in my life today? How holy is the holiness of God to me today? Is it greater today than it was yesterday or the day that I got saved? This word holiness, according to the New Unger Bible's dictionary, says, it means separation or setting apart. Holiness is a general term used to indicate sanctity or separation from all that is sinful, impure, or morally imperfect. That is, it is moral holiness. Did you get that? God is so set apart from sin that He has nothing to do with sin. He knows nothing of sin. He sees the consequences of sin. But He being God is holy and righteous. He is totally set apart. He is, as one said, holy is a part of speech that can be used as an adjective or a noun. As an adjective, it means sacred or set apart. As a noun, it can refer to the Holy One. Do you see the difference? I'm a holy person in the sight of God, but I'm not as holy in your presence. God would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. That is clearly and openly. Moses speaking face to face with God does not contradict the fact that he was not allowed to see God's face. I started to say, man, tiende. You understand? Face to face is a figurative expression suggesting openness and friendship. Joshua stayed in the tent, perhaps to care for it some way with Moses, would return to the camp. The tabernacle that he went into, the tent that he went into that day, after having seen God Almighty, the hinder part, and the tabernacle was set up for the people to come in and consult with God, Joshua was seeing all of this too. So Joshua was thinking about this matter, the holiness of God, and how that Moses had seen the glory of God. Joshua stayed in the tent. In other words, if you read the scriptures there in Exodus, how that Joshua stayed there. And I'm sure he was as you and I, we wondered about this matter of the holiness of God. Before I get further into the message, let me give you a definition of holiness that I saw. It says, the holiness of God is first of all that divine perfection by which He is absolutely distinct from all His creatures and is exalted above them in infinite majesty. How in the world could you comprehend all of that? Holiness. Isaiah 57:15 says it this way. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Psalm 99:9 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Habakkuk 1:13 says it this way, thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Those that slam God and say God does not exist, not afraid of God, doesn't bother me. Come and talk to me, God, if you want to make yourself manifest. Many of atheists, agnostics today, slam the presence of God in our lives and discredit the matter of the holiness of God. C.S. Lewis said, atheists express their rage against God, although in their view he does not exist. Before I get just a little farther and give you three things to take home with you today about this matter of the holiness of God, may I make an observation? I, as many of you know, have been in the ministry for a few years. I've been able to see the hand of God move in many different ways and have many, many pastor friends all around the world that are preaching the same gospel this morning. The same gospel that says that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save sinners from their sin, and they preached that all around the world. But let me give you an observation that I've seen, especially in the last few years, in the last 10 or 15 years. I don't think I've heard in the last 10 or 15 years that I recollect anyone preach on the holiness of God. Have you? I hope you have. But what I sense and what I feel watching and seeing what's taking place in America, God is this little God over here that he's sitting around and he's ready to pounce somebody on their head because they didn't do something right. Or this little God over here, he's capable of doing that, but he couldn't do it for me. But let me say, with a little bit of a negative spirit, we've seen this crept into our churches of today also. There's not that real holiness, that acute awareness that God is holy and righteous and wholesome, and we need to see him and believe him and trust him as a holy and righteous God. Let me give you three observations this morning. As the lady said, keep it sweet and short. Let me give you three observations about this matter of the holiness of God. First, we should approach God with reverence and godly fear. We should approach God with reverence and godly fear. Before I read a verse to you, let me ask a question. When was the last time you heard someone teach or even making a reference to the holiness of God to their child, whether it be a younger child or a teenager? When was the last time you heard? Hebrews 12:28 says, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Godly fear. Moses and the burning bush, remember that? Moses couldn't come very close to that burning bush. There was a holiness aspect to that. Moses wasn't able to. Moses couldn't. Even the boundary that was set around the mountain there where Moses was on Mount Sinai, there was a boundary where the people could not come. There was a reverence and godly fear about that. God had told them, instructed them very carefully what to do. But when Moses asked to see the glory of God, God didn't say it, but here's what I believe God meant. You couldn't handle it, buddy. You couldn't handle to see the full glory of me. But we need to first approach God with reverence and godly fear. Now, I'm not saying that the house of God ought to be a place that you come in the back door and you kneel down and you pray before you come in. You come inside and you sit quietly there and you pray all through the morning service before the preacher. I'm not talking about that. But there's a reverence that ought to be when you step in that back door. This is God's house. This is God's house. This is where God's man will stand and pour out his heart to you and say, there's a God, a holy God and righteous God. When you walk back out into the streets of this city, you ought to walk out in the streets of this city. You ought to walk up and down the street where you live, in the places that you go, showing them that you reverence God Almighty, that He is a God that has love for this world. We should approach God with reverence and godly fear. Let me give you the second thing. We will have the right view of sin when we get right views of God's holiness. Think that through. Now, that was simple verbiage. We will have the right view of sin when we get right views of God's holiness. My dad never once ever beat me. I'm sure he thought about it. My dad was never abusive to me. Matter of fact, I got most of my whippings from my mother. And she did a good job of it. And regularly. But one thing about my dad, not a perfect dad, but my dad, I feared my dad. Now listen to me carefully, in the right way. My dad never abused me. My dad was a good dad. Good dad. But I had respect toward my dad. I didn't have respect just simply because he had a belt that I could hear coming out all five laps. I didn't fear Dad because of that. I didn't fear Dad because he was a guy that was Dad was going to slap me or hit me or speak badly toward me. I feared my dad with a wholesome godliness. He was a man that I knew that he had the authority, but he had authority under control. When we get a view of God Almighty and His holiness, His righteousness, His glory, it'll help us to see our sin. If I see it according to how God sees it, I remember one time sitting in church. Amazing, my dad had eyes in the back of his head. But I remember one time, I normally was seated on the front row or second row. I'd just like to be up there with a couple of my friends. But one time I was back four or five seats. And it wasn't me. But my friend. My friend began to act up a little bit and talk out in church, which we were never to do. And I remember that day, even to this very day, I remember my dad looking back. He didn't have those eyes looking from the back of his head. He looked at me. Now, my dad looked with two expressions. one of authority, but secondly of sorrow. It was like he said, Charles Edward, you know better than that. If you're part of that, you know better than that. And I still remember how my heart was broken as a 8-9-year-old boy. How that when I saw my dad's eyes and the hurt in his eyes. But can you imagine how that we, when we look at sin openly and even with aggressiveness towards sin and even identifying with sin, how that our Holy Father, the Holy Righteous God, looks down upon us and how that He has a broken heart. I don't believe God stands there ready to zap you every time you do something wrong. I don't think God's not a God of that. But He's a righteous God. And when we see God's holiness and righteousness and goodness, it ought to cause us to hate sin, have a repulsiveness about our sin when we see it as God sees it. Isaiah, one of the holiest men in Israel, was cast down at the sight of his own sin after he had seen the vision of God's holiness. And the same was with Job. Job said it this way. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I have not answered. I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. In other words, his mouth was closed because he saw a holy and a righteous God, saw his sin. He also says in Job 42:4, Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Now let me camp on that for just a moment. I don't know what I would have done if I'd have been in Job's situation. Rightly so, he was the example to us today. Do you think Job was perfect? No, he wasn't. But he complained several times against maybe what God was doing and how God was doing it. But then he saw, the Bible said, then I saw. He said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. In other words, it was directed to God and the glory of God then, not on himself. Not on what had taken place in his life and what God was allowing. He said, I see you now, Lord. Have you ever been there where that you actually saw God? No, you say, well, I'm scared me to death. But there's been times in your life and mine when we saw our sinfulness and we saw the righteousness of God. So when we saw, when we have the right view of sin, we get the right view of God's holiness. And then number three, that approach to a holy God must come through the merits of Jesus Christ. And on the grounds of a righteousness which is Christ and which is which naturally we do not possess. Let me read that again. I wrote that down so that I have a short memory. The approach to a holy God must come through the merits of Jesus Christ. And on the grounds of a righteousness which is Christ and which naturally we do not possess. God's holiness was seen in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus said, If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, you didn't actually see God the Father, but you saw the sublimity of Jesus Christ in His holiness. That's who God is. You will never see God this side of heaven, but you'll see the results of a glorified God, the holiness of God, as you work through reading the Scriptures and studying the Scriptures and praying to God Almighty and letting the Holy Spirit work in your life as a as a believer, you will begin to see God's holiness. You'll begin to see Him more dearly and more clearly. But it's on the merits of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ said, I have come. And then you could add all you wanted to in that. He's come to fulfill all these things. The righteousness of Christ, which is God. Now you say, Pastor Lewis, Brother Chuck, you say, now how is it that there's God, there's Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit? I have a neighbor. They're good neighbors. They're very good neighbors. But they don't believe that Jesus is God. Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am Him, He, you'll die in your sins. We know that Jesus is God. But when we sometimes, even as a young believer, we try to differentiate between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Someone asked me a question, how do you believe all of that? They believe some of the Bible. They said, how could you believe that? I said, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in the virgin birth? Well, they said, yes. I said, can you understand it? Can you believe it? I mean, can you explain it? Is there anybody here today that can explain that? It had to be of God. It had to be of God. It wasn't of man. Well, if God's God the Father, in the Old Testament said that God's Spirit moved upon the face of the earth, and He said, let us make man in our own image. The Trinity is not anything hard to understand because it's of God. If it was of me, you'd understand it. Why, yeah, I see that. No, I don't understand it. I believe it because I know it's true. It's how God manifested Himself. God in the Old Testament saints were saved just like you and I. They were looking toward. Their righteousness was counted unto them. You see, we don't understand how God did those things in the Old Testament. We don't understand how Jesus did those things in the New Testament. There's many things I don't understand. I've been studying this book most of my life. And it's like I'm just barely there. I need to study all that, understand all that. I might know this little bit. But I do know this. I've seen the holiness of God work. I've seen the holiness of God rise up in a family's life and change a family's life because they put God first and said, God, You're holy and righteous. And I'm going to trust You. I don't know how. I was in bed the other night. I'm not a good sleeper. I don't sleep much at night. I wake up a lot. I don't know. Now let's see, where was I going with that? I was in bed trying to go to sleep, and I got to thinking. I always try to think, what am I going to preach tonight? And by the way, I'm preaching tonight. That's a warning, okay? So I said, I got to thinking. And to be honest with you, I didn't understand. I just didn't understand. And so I said, Lord, could I ask You a question? Have you ever done that? I said it just like that. I said, Lord, could I ask You a question? God said, nope. No, God didn't. God didn't. And God didn't ridicule me for that childlike faith. To come to a holy and righteous God that I know that lives within me, that desires me to be more like Him, why couldn't I ask Him a question? Because holiness comes from God, not from me. So why would it be stupid, like a little child comes up, asks the father or the mother a stupid question? Don't say that's a stupid question. That's where we are. Listen, I've been saved since I was 10 years of age, just short of being 10 years of age. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. That's been a long time. But I tell you what, I pray that I never get to the place that where I forget the holiness of God. The righteousness of God, which I possess because of Jesus Christ. He said, come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Rest. Only Jesus Christ can give you rest. Only Jesus Christ can show you the holiness of God. Only Jesus Christ can help you live out the holiness of God. Let me read a verse to you out of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lust. Do you know I have a divine nature living within me that is God Almighty? Moses, did you see God face to face? Nope. But God talked to him face to face as a one person to another. Openly. With confidentiality, God looked upon Moses. Could he see the righteousness, the holiness in God as we would see it as a believer through Jesus Christ? No, but he saw God through his holy conscience of knowing God. Now let me finish with a little summation. Where are you this morning as far as your concept of who God is? Where are you this morning as far as your consciousness of God living within? I don't want to end on a negative note, but we're seeing very little of this in our society today, of a righteousness and holiness. But if I were to stand before God, it's just a little before noon. If I were to stand before God this afternoon at 2 o'clock, now normally at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, don't bother me, I'm taking a nap. I used to tell my church, if you need somebody at 2 o'clock, call somebody and not me. I'm asleep. But if I should at 2 o'clock this afternoon, God would take the breath from this body. And I would stand before God Almighty. Would He be pleased with the way I have carried myself, displaying the holiness of God? If I stood before God Almighty this afternoon, and we just might, how would I answer? You may ask the question, how did people perceive you as you walked on this earth that I gave you to walk on? After you were born into the family of God by my Spirit through Jesus Christ's blood on the cross to save you, after that, how do people see your holiness? How does the people you walk with and work with and so on and so forth, how do they see the holiness of God working in and through you? Well, you say, Brother Chuck, I'm not like God. That would be an understatement, would it not? I'm like God in the sense that I can be holy like God, not to the degree of God, but I can be holy because of God living in me. I can't without God, but I can live holy with God living in me. You know what the world's looking for today? Let me be honest with you. The world is looking for some Christians that's going to live a holy life. I'm not talking about giving up this and giving up that. Listen, those are outward things. Brother, when the inside of a Christian becomes holy, the outside's going to become holy. It will. It will. People begin to see it. I'm not talking about walking around, oh, look how holy I am. Listen, there's a lot that you can say about holiness without speaking a word. I remember, I guess it's been a couple of years ago, I had surgery. I don't do well under anesthetics. I don't want to wake up. I remember that nurse saying to me, after a while, she said, "You're going to have to get up. You got to get up. You got to get up and get out of here." In other words, we're looking for another surgeon coming in. Anyway, the first thing when I woke up, there was a nurse, and the first thing that came to my mind was I said, "Are you going to heaven when you die?" Honest God, that's what I said. That's it. She said, "I hope so." Well, I was back out. I couldn't explain the gospel. I was back. But I tell you what, though, when she put me in that wheelchair, to finally get me out of that room so someone else could come in, I do remember saying to her, I said, did you hear what I asked you this morning? She said, "Yes, I do. Yes, I did." She said, "I'm considering it." Now, was that being holy? That was being holy. That's allowing the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, work through me. Am I holy and righteous? Only through Christ. I can't glory in myself. I have no righteousness in myself. But if you should stand before God Almighty this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and you just might, I may, I don't know that either. How would I answer? Or someone ask you before you go home at 2 o'clock after the noon meal, what is the holiness of God? It'd be hard to explain, wouldn't it? Because it's all inclusive. God is holy because He's separated from anything that is sinful, wicked, bad. That's who God is. Now, I've seen some people that really cleaned up on the outside but were wicked on the inside. But God is all righteous. God is all holy. And I want to leave you with this thought today. Is your concept of God a God of holiness and righteousness and goodness? Or is your thought, your concept of God only of a God that's a bully? He's wanting to zap me because I haven't done things right. That's not God. God is love. Not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. I've often tried to think about how God sees a person. How does God see a person that has heard the gospel message clearly, which you've heard from this pulpit hundreds, thousands of times? And God, hearing that person say one more time, "No, God, I reject you," maybe to a more convenient time, how hurting that would be to a holy and a righteous God, which I fully cannot understand, but I can only surmise how God's heart would be broken because He is righteous and holy and desires for people to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Can you only imagine the hurt that's there when one would say no? Well, let's bow our heads. That's the best I can do this morning. Father, thank You for Your Word. You know my heart You know exactly my thoughts and my thought, Father, You know already. I've told You, Lord, this is a subject very difficult for me. And yet, Lord, You told me to, and Lord, I hope that it's been delivered in a way that these people received it. And dear Lord, I realize that Not all in this room are saved. There may be some that profess to be saved, but they don't know anything about the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. They may have signed a card for membership in some church somewhere, but their hearts have never been changed. I don't know who they are, Lord, but you do. Lord, speak to them in this very moment and show them your righteousness and your holiness and how that you desire to save them from their sin and make them a child of God. Then, Father, those of us that have committed our lives to Thee and You've given us a new life, given unto us salvation, God, I pray that today, before we leave this place, that you'll flame that fire that's within our soul of the righteousness and the holiness of the wonderful God that we serve. God, may we not leave lackadaisical, just so what, heard this before. God, may we make a decision today to do something about it, that our lives might be changed, that people might see that we believe that God is holy. God is a righteous God. Help us, Lord. Oh, God, help us to get a hold of that today. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll forgive us even as a church. Even as Christendom, many times they professed faith in Christ but live like the devil. Hardly ever the righteousness, the holiness was exhibited in their lives. Help us, Lord, as a church to rise up. May the world see, oh God, that we love you, we believe you, we trust you, we know that you're a holy and righteous God. And you will one day cast those into a lake of fire that rejected you and spurned your love. And Lord, I pray today you'll speak to all of our hearts. If there's one or more, many, that have never saw Jesus Christ as their only hope, the one that was nailed to a cross, the one that willingly gave his life, his life's blood, was buried, raised on the third day, ascended back to the Father, making it possible that our salvation could be complete if we only believe the gospel. I pray you'll speak to that person or those persons that need to be saved today. God, they've heard. I pray you'll speak to their hearts. And then, Lord, touch ours as believers. May we not be the same. God, change us. Do something in our lives. Help us, oh God, please. Do something today. Help us to be different people when we leave today. Not because of Chuck Lewis, not because of my words, but because Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I pray in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Let's stand.